Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 382. My name is John Morgan. Cold Coffee is with me. Or actually, I'm with Cold Coffee. I'm here at the Casa de Cold Coffee. I feel
same thing.
I kind of
drinking my beer.
Drinking the frothy beverages that you have here in store. Listen, your boy is hurting a little bit right now. I'm not gonna lie. So, jet setting like we do, you know, just jumped off
or like
a plane.
You do. I can't remember the last time I got on a fucking plane, except for that the vacation back home.
Jumped off a plane from Los Angeles and just rolled right by the
that
house.
That big long flight. You're just like, oh my gosh, you know.
Picked up my car from the valet over at the airport. You know how you do. Threw my keys at the guy when I dropped it off. I said, keep it up front, buddy. You know what I mean? No.
I'll be right back.
No, I did had a night in Los Angeles last night. Went and checked out the ONE Championship in Amazon Prime Video press conference, their kind of official thing. And I'll be honest with you, man. First of all, I will say just personally, really fun catching up with Rich Franklin. Rich Franklin, a guy that covered his entire career. That was an entirely different era of the sport, an entirely different era of my career. So it was fun just kind of catching up and telling stories with him. Ended up having dinner with him and kicking it. But
you know how you do, just
kicking it, dinner with a USC Hall of Fame. You know how you do. It's just the way you do on a normal Wednesday night or whatever. But it was good catching up with Rich Franklin. But I will say this, man, I'm kind of excited about this. Like, I don't know how you take it in, but look. I like the ONE Championship product, and I always have, and we've talked about it here, right? Like, I feel like they kind of stumbled upon to the secret recipe, right? Like, they've always been, for 10 years, they've been trying to figure out how we do this, what we do, we're gonna bring people in, we're gonna do the best, we're gonna be Asian martial arts. That's all amazing, right?
Yeah.
But if you've seen their cards lately, what they've done is, of course, they're still doing MMA fights, but, they might have a 10-fight card where there's three MMA fights. Now they're bringing, like, the best Muay Thai fighters in the world, the best kickboxers in the world, and they're putting them in 4-ounce gloves, which is exciting as hell. Then they're doing submission grappling, which I'm a big kind of jiu-jitsu nerd. Like, I love that. I mean, Mikey submitting him in Ari recently was just insane. I mean, they're doing cool stuff like that. So I like their cards. If you haven't checked out their product in a long time, I totally understand why, because it's 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday. But now they're going to be in prime time and on Amazon Prime Video, which –
I love Prime Video.
This is a big deal. And I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
We have every streaming service. My house has every streaming service known to man. We have Amazon Prime Video. I don't really know where to find it yet. So I'm going to have to find it. My wife knows where to find it. But this
you could rearrange those icons.
I'm going to have to rearange the icons. I didn't even know. But, it does seem like a big deal.
It's huge. I mean, in terms of just being able to, for people to, if you have a Roku, if you got Apple TV, if you got whatever, like the Amazon Prime's everywhere. And even now in like the smart TVs. But I've never actually watched like a streaming event through Prime Video. I've always just watched like movies, and it seems like every Chris Pratt movie now just goes straight to Amazon Prime, like The Terminal List, the other really cool movie or whatever. But I'm a big homer for Chris Pratt. He's a good dude.
I like it. Hey, he shows up for the UFC fight number one.
Yes, he does.
Bro, I mean, dude, if you're coming out for the if you're a star and you're showing up for the prelims,
you like it. You like it.
And you get our support.
Yeah.
You get our support.
But yeah, looking at just these things, so the first event's August 26th, it looks like, but it's at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
That's awesome.
So they're going to fight.
Prime time for us here in Vegas.
They're going to fight at like 9 a.m. I think the difference between Eastern and Singapore is exactly 12 hours. So they're going to fight in the morning. But look, we're kind of used to that now, right?
Yeah.
Like with Fight Island, with whatever. I mean, that's the way it works. And
I'm
excited for that.
Yeah. It's crazy.
6 p.m. for us.
Yeah, it's awesome.
6 p.m. for us
so
in Vegas
awesome.
On a Friday night.
So is it? It's once a month, right? So it looks like August 26th, September 30th, October 21st, November 18th, and December 2nd. So roughly a month between each event. But that first one, Bryce and Johnson 2, that's fucking dope.
Dude, I love that fight.
So good.
So I love that fight. It was so cool, by the way, to see Demetrius Johnson again.
Was he at dinner as well?
He was not. I mean, you only take one.
Rich, can you slide over and make room for TJ? TJ, come on in.
DJ was not at dinner. But you know what's funny is I did get a chance to ask him. It was so funny. So after the press conference was over, I was I went and did a couple interviews backstage, and we were kind of hanging out, like waiting on shuttles and stuff like that. And Demetrius was there, and I was like, DJ, I got to ask you something. I was like, because I believe it was in this exact same building. And he was like, all right, what you got? And I think because it was at the Novo Theater, which used to be I used to have a different name. But I think if I'm remembering right, his last fight was in L.A. And I remember we did a scrum. I might be wrong thinking that it was the same building. But I do remember this, and it's always stuck with me because I remember we were doing a scrum with Demetrius, and I'm like, hey, man, what do you see for your future? And he's like, man, I want to go around the world, and I want to win belts in different organizations and just take different titles. And I was like, literally, if you go back to the scrum, I was like, well, that's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, you're the USC flyweight champion. You're not leaving anywhere.
They're not going to sign another fight with somebody else. Yeah, they're not going to share you.
Exactly. And sure enough, ain't that exactly – I was like, do you remember me saying that too? He was like, I do. I was like – did you know at the time?
Because that was the same. It had to be the same building. Yeah, I've used the same place over and over.
I asked him. I was like, do you remember me saying that? And he's like, I do remember you saying that. I was like, did you know at the time? Like, did you know what I did? Like, did you say it because you already knew? He's like, no, I didn't know. He's like, but it did appeal to me. And when this opportunity came up, I went and did it. Yeah, so I mean, it stuck out to me clear as day because I remember being like, well, we know you're never going to leave and go to another organization and win other titles, and that's what he's trying to. But look, hey, this fight with Adriana Moraes, man, and this is, man, if you saw their face off from yesterday, you get reminded, and this is just it, man, like, Adriano. It's so much bigger.
He's huge.
Huge
compared to DJ. I mean, he's not a huge dude, but he's so big.
And he's so skilled, man. Like, he's one of those guys that because he fought so much of his career overseas, people don't know how good he is, man. Yeah. And so I think people thought DJ was just going to roll over there and absolutely smoke him. And this is such a big opportunity for guys like that. Like, I'm so excited that people like that are going to get exposure and opportunity. Now, look. Are the American fans just going to automatically latch on? I don't know. But this is way better than asking them, hey, can you get up at 4 in the morning and watch this?
It's at least you have a better chance. And I mean, like, what better fight than for him to try to come back there and show? Because if people didn't watch the first one, I thought the first fight, he was so dominant. Like,
yeah, man.
I love DJ. I think DJ will go down as one of the best fighters we ever saw, you know, for what he did. But I don't see DJ changing that up, you know? Like, this dude is legit so big and so badass. I remember watching that fight thinking, like, holy cow, DJ literally was just not DJ's never run through anybody over there. One, they've always been very tough fights, very tough fights, but DJ did what DJ does and gets the win. And I remember watching that fight thinking, holy cow, like, this is next level shit that what this guy is doing. And I don't see that changing from this one, because, you know, DJ still is a fantastic fighter, but DJ's been doing it for a long time, you know, and I mean, he was at super high peak level at that fight. Time, and you can get back up there, but we're going to start seeing the point where DJ's going to start declining, and this is the cat that you don't want to be.
Well, and it was interesting, too. So I asked him, I was like, man, you know, obviously you want to win this fight, right?
Yeah.
But, like, do you feel, like, responsibility, like you're in the headliner of this big moment of the career? And he is so – and I think it's probably – it's probably good mentally, you know, health-wise, whatever. He's just like, nah, it's just another fight. It's just this, that. But I don't know, man. Like, this does seem like, I don't want to say a make-or-break fight, but, like, if he loses twice to Adriana Moraes, like, don't you all of a sudden start questioning, like, the entire – because, I've always said he's one of the greatest of all time. Like, I think his dominant run wasn't properly respected because he wasn't beating former champions because there weren't former champions. Right. Like, he was the guy,
He started it, yeah.
But, man, you know, if he loses twice to the same guy in an overseas organization, do you all of a sudden start trying to, like, reinvent history and being like, yeah, see, I told you, man, the guy wasn't that good. He was in the early era. That was before the division was really established, et cetera, et cetera.
I can definitely see where people maybe would say that. I personally wouldn't do it because I think that, you know, I think it's just at the point where we see some fighters where you think, man, should they have went out when it was like they were still, you know, riding high and did they possibly push it? But with a guy like a DJ's level, he still can beat 9 out of 10 guys out of there. There just happens to be that 10 out of 10 guy that's like running into a brick wall for him. But that being said, if he loses to him again, I think nothing less about his past and what he's done. has the level of competition overall changed since when DJ and those guys were on the run? Sure. But it still doesn't take anything away. Like, I still look back. You look at the NFL players that play now and the level of athleticism that those guys do takes nothing away of the guys that destroyed it back in the day when the sport was still coming up.
I respect that.
Technique has changed. You know, the Hoist, equipment's changed.
Hoist would get crushed. Hoist wouldn't sniff the top 15. You know what I mean?
And it's so, I mean,
but it's not fair. But
and
that
we saw
mean,
that at the end of Hoist of course, as well. Like he was course. Like, I'm still going to go in and fight these guys, and it was just like
when it came back against Hughes, like we saw it. So we had a visual representation to it. And you're so right. But you shouldn't. And I agree. I respect you for saying that because it's so true. Like you're so right. Like those guys would not compete today. But you don't take away from who they are. And look, I'll throw this name out there, and I know that a lot of people like Dana. Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Look, Ronda can't compete in today's division, of course.
Yeah.
But don't take away from what she accomplished. Yep. At that time,
it wasn't
that
her fault,
person,
the rest,
that era, that generation, that was the one that set the tone for everybody to catch up to. And I think you're right. I think that's a healthy way to look at it. If he gets beat by Adriana Moraes again, dude, Demetrius was still the king of the flyweights. Yep. He was still one of the pound-for-pound best. He was still amazing. It's just, you know, look. It shows how talented other organizations are out there, and it shows that the division continues to move on.
And how the sport has just increased itself. You know, like even I think when, you know, you watch like the earliest of MMA and just even the earliest like just weird combat sports, the tough man events. You used to see tough man events all the time where guys would just go get drunk and just sling big Hail Marys and just try to knock their guys out. Now the level of guys that even do that, I don't even know if they really even do those anymore because I think most people are like, oh, that's kind of whack. You're just getting drunk and beating the shit out of each other. Like, go get in the ring and really fight, you know, or something. It's just you can't take away from what those guys did. I mean, like the sport and people looked at those times. And like you said, Ronda, it wasn't on her to, you know, wait for the other division to come catch up to her before she went on her little reign. She was just so ahead of the game at that time that the sport had to come back up and catch up to her. So all the guys like DJ and everybody else, at the time when they were really starting to take you know, the reins of this sport and push it forward, there was nothing else that was doing the same sort of things. But now you have these beacons that everybody looked at on a pedestal and said, man, that was great. I bet I can do better than that, and I'm going to challenge myself to do better than that. And that's what we're seeing today. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the fact that now – you don't see as many karate gyms. You don't see the taekwondo gyms. You don't see – you'll still see them, but now what you're seeing is MMA gyms because people realize, while I like this martial art over here and I like this and that, it's not as effective as this over here, which is maybe a blend of all the other things, you know, and that's just a whole another thing that just took that whole idea of I want to learn how to defend myself. It used to be, okay, well, go pick your discipline. Pick your one focus and go to that. You want to go box? Okay, go box. You want to go to taekwondo? Okay, go to taekwondo. You want to go to karate? Okay, go to taekwondo, karate. Now they're like, okay, you want to defend yourself? How about an MMA class where it does all that sort of stuff? And that's not saying, oh, that was really stupid for you to open up a taekwondo gym 20 years ago. No, you know, that's just what it was at the time. Now a lot of those cats are doing it. They're probably going to open up an MMA gym. Because they realize just the effectiveness and how the sports change, and that's where everybody's focus is. You know, it's just grown so much. So can't take away from the pioneers, and that's what all these people, in a sense, are, you know, for where the sport's at now from where it was. They're all kind of pioneers. You know, granted, they're all not going to make it into the pioneer level of the Hall of Fame.
Right, right.
But in terms of those that, you know, that you want to give respect for their dominant reign, we can't take away that away from them just at that time. They were the biggest and baddest people, you know?
And the sad thing about that is I won't have dinner with them because they're not in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? I only have dinner with the Hall of Fame. No, look, it was fun. Look,
Let that be a lesson, DJ.
Sorry. I just, you know, when I'm in L.A., I'm not having dinner with you. I'm only going to the Hall of Fame.
Do you think – now, I wonder – that now that just brings up a weird thing. Do you think – I mean, when you look at the body of what DJ did in the UFC and little these other things – I know that a lot of times you have to either not be an active fighter, you not be in the UFC. I wonder what if DJ didn't leave and go over to one championship and if he just walked away, if we wouldn't have already seen DJ in some fashion already in the UFC Hall of Fame.
Okay, so that's quick, because I thought you were going a different direction. I thought you were going to say, does he belong in the Hall of Fame? Because to me, that's a clear and unequivocal yes.
Like, exactly.
He absolutely belongs
in the
Hall of Fame.
Right. Well, the same sort of deal.
But I kind of like your question better. I kind of like your question better, because to me, it was clear and unequivocal. Like, yes, he absolutely belongs in the UFC Hall of Fame. But I kind of like your question better. Like, would he have already been in the Hall of Fame? Like, had he hung it up? Like, had he just be like, I'm done? Yep. Yeah, he's absolutely in the Hall of Fame.
You think he's already
in the Hall of Fame? I think so too. Absolutely.
I think so too.
But you're not gonna and I guess that goes to show some of the faults of the Hall of Fame. Like, I do still believe, you know, we just had that Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and I do believe people are starting to take the Hall of Fame a little bit more seriously than they used to. Like, I feel like, and man, I really enjoyed watching it, and like, Habib's speech was amazing. Like, I thought he was great. You know, oh man, Kevin Randleman's widow last year was incredible. I mean, you know, like, these moments are becoming more iconic, and I think the meaning is there. You know, Daniel Cormier was obviously very excited about it, and I do think it's getting more meaning, but that is probably still a flaw in it, in the fact that it is, you know, there aren't this hard set of guidelines where, you know what I mean? Like, because if you're thinking about it, like, if you're running a business, if you're a promoter, if you're Dana White, if you ever, like, why would you put somebody into your Hall of Fame while he's competing somewhere else? Yeah, exactly. Because now he gets to say, you know, they already bill him, and it's funny the way they bill him. They bill him as a 12-time MMA world champion, which is dope. I like
That's how one sells.
And he's a 12-time MMA world champion, and that's a great way to put it. But if they were able to say UFC Hall of Famer, like, of course they would say that, UFC Hall of Famer. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So, that's an interesting point. Yeah, he'd be in already. That's still a little bit of flaw. There's still a little bit of promotional bias in there.
Yeah.
So
you did bring up something before I forget.
Yeah.
You brought up Daniel Cormier. Have you looked at Twitter today?
No.
I just happened to see that yesterday. So Bisping was at Nando's.
And I did see that.
And then DC was like, Nando's sucks. And then Bisping, I think today or yesterday, was like, Popeye sucks.
Bro. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you on this debate.
People are going hard on both sides.
Look, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to weigh in on this debate because, first of all, I did see that. You know what's funny is I said I hadn't checked Twitter, and I haven't, but I did see that.
You saw that one.
I did see that. That one stood out.
You saw the important ones.
I saw the important ones. And I will say, first of all, when Cormier said that, I assumed he was just trolling. Cormier was trolling.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Okay, cool. But I will say, if we're going to weigh on this debate, all right, look, I can have one meal. I can have Nando's or I can have Popeyes. Like, that's it. Like, it's I'm on death row.
But you can have access to the whole menu or just one item.
Well,
or
listen.
One thing. All
right. So how would you frame? Because here's what I was gonna say.
If I had to only eat from one place
for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of just like one dish.
But you know what? It's still the same answer for me. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's still the same answer for me. So listen. The way I was looking at it, I like the way you're framing it, man. See, you're going down different roads today. The way I'm looking at it is, look, you're on death row. You've been convicted because you know you're a bad person and you've done some dumb shit, and it's finally time.
It's getting deep.
And you get one. Dark. You get one meal left, and they're like, bro, here's the bad thing. The only thing is, like, you get your last meal, but all we got is Nando's and Popeyes. It's your call. It's your call. Like, we don't got nothing else. You get Nando's and Popeyes. I'm telling you right now, it's the same decision as the scenario that you said, which is if you could, and your scenario was, and you know, you didn't lay it all out, but you're saying is if you could only eat from one menu the rest of your life,
right?
Which is it? I'm still going the same way, and that's Nando's. That's Nando's.
Nando's
all day.
It is. I mean, like, I like me Popeyes. I like Popeyes, and I like the Popeyes chicken sandwich, but I would get bored of that shit really fucking quick.
Yes.
I can eat a whole chicken from Nando's. All day long.
Bro.
All day long.
And look, I want to throw this out there because I think there's this thing. And look, I'll be honest with you. I feel like we were probably a part of fueling this discussion because we would always go over to Europe in the old days, back when I worked for that place. I can't remember the name anymore, but when I was over there, I'm like.
When you were up and coming journalist.
Yeah. Just up and coming.
Your teeth.
Just cutting my teeth and then, you know, trying to go. We would go over there, and we would always eat Nando's, right?
Yeah.
And we would talk about Nando's because what do? We sit down here, and we talk about what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
And we would talk about Nando's, and we would tweet about Nando's and all that. And I think people kind of built up this thing that we were like, oh, this is the finest establishment of all
the
time.
The greatest cuisine.
Nah. It's kind of like having your debate of like In-N-Out versus Five Guys versus Shake Shack. Whatever. It's like that. It's fast food. But it's good fast food.
Mm-hmm.
It's good fast food. But I'm telling you, Nando's all day. First of all, I mean, and you know how much, you know, we focus on
healthy
the
eating,
temple.
Good eating.
You know what I mean? Building the temple. You know what I mean? The health. Yes, it's healthier because it's grilled, right? Yeah. And you know how much we focus on health. So as health food connoisseurs.
And the side options are much better.
As get we you, are.
Over there, it's funny. Abby and them were telling me they were going to Nando's. I was like, Don't be silly and get that mushy pea shit. I was like, a real side.
Nope.
Get a real side.
No mushy
Come
peas.
On.
No mushy peas over there. But I, you know, it's got to be Nando's. And again, I think Daniel Cormier was just trolling.
I think he was trolling him.
Look, it's not a real discussion. It's not. Look, and look, Popeyes isn't bad. I mean, they got it's fried chicken.
I like Popeyes.
It's not
fried
bad.
Chicken.
It's
I like
fried
it.
Chicken.
I like it in terms of like the say if you have like your KFC, you have your Popeyes, Church's. I don't know if Sisters is still around. In terms of quality, like just in KFC, like of like consistent, good, hot, spicy chicken when you get the spicy one for like Popeyes, it's good. It's good. I find it better than a lot of those other ones. But in terms of, like you said, when I go and sit down or if we go to Nando's and that grilled chicken with the sauce, it's funny because some people are like, it's just burnt bland chicken with good sauce. I'm like, it's more than that, you know, but – It just feels like it's a better dining experience.
Just that in itself, get your sauce degree. You go to churches, you get
the hot that they give you.
You get what
you get. The spicy, which is just a blend.
Popeyes, you got whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? You just get what
you
they
do
give
the,
you.
You do that. You do that extra hot shit.
Oh, I do that.
Not the 3X. No, because don't they have like a 3X one?
I'm gonna tell you what. So I get the. I believe I get the. It's goddamn. It's been so long. I get the hot and I get the extra hot on the side, so I can spice it up a little bit.
That's
how
I do it.
Get the hot.
I could have swore you used to get yours on it.
I probably did.
Maybe a couple times when we were drinking.
Back in the day.
Back in the day,
I was a little crazy. Back in the day.
I would lie if I wasn't jealous when Abby and those cats were like. I was like, "Have you guys gone to Nando's yet?" And he's like, "We're getting ready to pack up and go." And I was like, "Man." And then they end up going to some. Asian restaurant because they sent me a bunch of like Thai looking pictures. I was like, "Where's my Nando's?" Because I was like, "I want to see a picture of a whole chicken right now."
Fail. Yeah. Hashtag.
I'm sure they're still going to go at some point.
Hey, last thing I want to say about One Championship real quick. I want to say first of all, Amazon is all in on this thing. I was the only person that got to interview Marie Donahue, who is the vice president of Global Sports Video. I was the only journalist that was allowed to talk to her directly, and. You know, it's funny.
Baller.
I said, you know, I mean, you
big
know,
baller. You know how you do.
MixedMartialArts.com, dude. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just the outlet that I work for that really gets the clout. You know what I mean? Man, I was like, you know, this was kind of a surprise to us when we heard that One Championship was, you know, signing with Amazon. And man, she was like a surprise. Like, why would it be a surprise? Like this organization. And think about the data that Amazon has access to.
Yeah.
Think about the metrics that they can reach. And I was like, well, it's kind of a surprise when we saw this. She was like, a surprise? Like, she almost seemed like put back that I asked that. And by the way, I heard her speaking to somebody else. It wasn't an interview, but I just heard her talking. I think she was at, like, ESPN for, like, 18 years or something like that. So this is somebody that knows the sports game.
Shit.
Now is in Amazon, has access to these metrics. And when I was like, hey, man, that's kind of, you know, so talk to me how this happened. Like, it was kind of a surprise when we all heard this. She was like, surprise? Like, have you seen, like, online, like, where they are? Have you seen their place? Like, have you seen how big they are? Like, no surprise at all. Like, they're great. And it was cool. She actually lauded the fact that they have the multiple disciplines. She's like, this is different than MMA. It's not just MMA. We're martial arts.
All the selling points.
She knows it. She knows. And she
That's
was
awesome.
Like, and she also said, and she's like, you know, she talked about how much they support women as well, which was cool. You know, she talked about the fact that the women's divisions are.
Did you tell her that we have a great podcast that Amazon should get behind as well?
You know, I mean, I might drop a little hint there. You know, I mean,
I'm like, if you're tuning metrics and you're understanding
the Amazon Prime Video Roadshow.
Brand that shit. Welcome to the Amazon Prime Roadshow.
Welcome to Amazon. Like, come on, we can do that all day long. So that was cool, man.
Awesome.
I don't know. It was cool to see like how invested they were. And by the way,
to have behind their company.
If you look at all the press releases and all the information, it says a minimum of 12 events. And so I was like, man, that's a very specific thing that you say a minimum. It's so weird that you say a minimum of 12 events. And I asked, I was like, a minimum of 12 events annually through the continuation of the deal. And I asked Marie and Rich. And by the way, you can check out the video if you want to check it out. You can check out the video on the MMA Underground YouTube channel. But I asked, I said, who decides that there's more? And Rich was like, that's on us. And she, like, they kind of looked at each other, like, and Rich was like, that's on us. She's like, and he said, look, right now, we're still kind of coming out of COVID. We're still kind of getting back to, like, full schedule because, you know, they were, like, locked down in Singapore for a while. He's like, we're kind of coming back. He's like, if once we get to, like, next year, if we can deliver more, they'll take more.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting, right? Like, okay, minimum of 12.
So they're really going in on the streaming.
They said they'll take more. Yeah. Amazon. So she didn't bat an eye. She didn't bat an eye. She was like, all right, yeah, we could do more. So
that's awesome.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Wow, by the way, cool. last thing I'll say about Rich Franklin, if you're an old school Rich Franklin fan, so we were having dinner last night. Food is delivered, and as the food's delivered, we're all kind of talking. There was a big group of us. We were kind of hanging out, whatever. As the food's delivered, he kind of leaned over his plate, and I was like, man, what's he, like, what's he looking at? Like, is he trying to inspect it or whatever? Da-da. And then he rose back up and realized he was saying grace. Like, he was just saying, like, he's still that guy, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's still, like, all those things that you knew about Rich Franklin,
yeah,
he's still that guy, man. He was saying grace over his plate before he had it, even though, like, the rest of us were all talking and hanging out, you know what
That's
I mean?
Cool.
Like, he took a moment to do that. So, Rich is still that dude.
He's still that hometown teacher.
He's still that dude. O-H.
I-O.
You know what I'm saying? He's still that guy, man. It was
That's
cool.
Awesome.
All right, look, busy week. It's funny, right? You know, a lot of MMA happening. One championship is in Singapore. UFC is in London. Bellator is in Washington. I guess, you know, I guess we'll start – I think maybe I'll start quickly with Bellator just because I wrote a piece on Douglas Lima this week, and I was a little surprised to see he missed weight.
Yeah.
Douglas
Pound
Lima.
And a half, I think.
Man, I was a little surprised to see Douglas Lima is in a hard spot right now. I mean, he's had losses,
yeah,
but it's been against the exact, you know, the upper echelon of division. But look, Jason Jackson is that dude that's been kind of flying under the radar a little bit, and I think he's
Not
ready
anymore.
To ascend. Exactly. I think this is his moment.
Yep.
And I don't know. I guess, you know, like I said, I was flying when the weigh-ins were happening, so I was a little surprised to see it because I talked to Douglas, you know, and I love Douglas's attitude. He's like, bro, you know, I'm like, did you maybe ask Bellator, like, hey, do you have to keep giving me top contenders? And he's like, I don't want anything but top contenders.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm right there. But, man, to miss weight, now you start wondering, like,
just wondering, like, the preparation or if something maybe went wrong. Or-
yep.
I mean, I could see where, I mean, well, they're not going to pay him as, I mean, well, granted, he's got a contract, but, you know, you can't keep getting big money if you're taking easy fights, especially at that top of that thing, you know, and maybe it's at the point where, you know, we talk about, you know, gatekeepers and people, you know, that are nearing maybe the start when they're going over the hill where the career starts to decline at that point, but he's still an incredible fighter. I did pick Jason Jackson to win this fight.
Mm,
I think Jason Jackson impressed me so much the last time he fought. And I just – the fact that when I saw that Douglas missed that today, I was just like –
confirmation of your
confirmation
thoughts.
Is what it felt like. I was like, wow, okay. Now I feel like Jason's got an even better chance because whatever caused Douglas to miss – I mean, it's one thing. We've seen plenty of times where fighters, you know – if they know they're going to maybe in a tough fight, they look for that little edge. But nobody wants to go into a fight losing part of their purse, you know, taking that fee and just to have that extra weight. Like, you know, to do that for a pound and a half, something happened.
And not only that, and you're 100% right about that, but not only that, like, every fighter in the sport knows, like, that's your job to make weight.
Yeah.
And so it's like a personal, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like everybody, like, knows
you hear from
that's
the fans
a failure
too. Because I mean, how many times now that they've opened up like the ceremony?
Oh, I love it.
Again, fans will let you know. Like,
even if it's a ceremonial,
they'll boo.
They're booing.
They're booing.
It's 7 hours later after you're on the scale, and they're booing you because you missed weight. I'll be honest with you. I love that.
I like it.
I love it.
I mean, it just shows. I mean, if anybody doubted the sincerity of the fans that are actually showing up there to want to watch these guys. Mm-hmm. Yes, they want to see him in person, but they want to be heard, and they're showing that they're paying attention. You know,
yep.
That's the best part about it. Like,
and it's not to talk trash about anybody that misses weight. Yeah. We understand all the circumstances and everything that happens.
Yeah.
But it's just like, that was your job. Like, I've always said, if you miss weight, you don't get to go into the face off and, like, me mug. Like, no. You have to go into the face off, put your hands down, and just, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just stand there because
just be humble.
You messed up.
He messed up. But that's a tough fight. I mean, like, you can't take anything. I don't think that's going to – it's not like I'm going to say 100% Jason Jackson, no doubt. There's no chance that Douglas Lima can't win this fight because it's Douglas Lima. He's a fucking beast because he can. But, yeah, I mean, I just think Jason Jackson, like you said it, man, he's a guy that maybe has been flying under the radar, but he's just – he's firing on all cylinders. And maybe the fact that, you know, we saw Douglas miss weight, maybe he's not, you know, at this point. But, again – The making the weight's only one part of it, you know. There's still the fight night, and he might still come in just throwing bombs, and he's a super dangerous fighter. But what other fight you looking on that?
Look, it's a good card. Do you guys, by the way, do you guys have anybody out there covering it or no?
No. I thought we did, but no. We've been just doing the remote thing.
All right, so because to be honest, this card is good. Tofik Musaiyev versus Sydney Outlaw.
That's one of the ones that I know that some of the other guys were really paying attention to that case.
Tofik is a beast. And you know what, man? Look, I love this fight. I'll be honest with you. I like Tofik in this fight. I think he's a beast.
Yeah.
But let me say this. Sydney Outlaw deserves all the credit in the world because he was supposed to be, you know, in the main event. You know what I mean? He was supposed to be in this huge opportunity for his career, and Patricky Pitbull out, and he says, "Look, I'll take another fight, and not only will I take another fight, but I'll take an absolute monster." So I love that fight. Look, Usman Nurmagomedov is on here against Chris Gonzalez, which, by the way, Usman is the one getting all the love, deservedly so, undefeated, the cousin of, I mean, and this is a real Nurmagomedov, you know what I mean? This is a true cousin, but Chris Gonzalez is absolutely a stud as well, you know what I mean? So he deserves respect. Lorenz Larkin is on there facing Mukhamed Berkhamov, which, again, here's another guy that's just, you know, insane record, insane skills. I know. And Lorenz Larkin, if you haven't checked out the interview that I did with Lorenz Larkin, check that out on the MMA Underground YouTube page as well, because I thought Lorenz was so cool where I was like, bro, why would you take this fight? And he's like, because that's what fighters do. He's like, I know you're not used to hearing this anymore, John Morgan, are you? He's like, I'm old school. He's like, we take fights. He's like, we don't sit on rankings. We don't, you know, he's like, this is a tough dude, and I'm going to take that fight, and I respect that. So, I mean, dude, this card is good. Then you go, Davion Franklin versus Marcelo Gomez is a legit
that's
fight.
A big one.
Romero Cotton versus Dalton Rasta. I'll be honest with you, little shocked with this matchmaking that they put these two dudes together, because these are both guys that look like they have a big promise ahead. So, I mean, man, this card, Archie Colgan, the new hot shot, is on there. Gazi Rabanova is on. I mean, bro, this Bellator card, look, it's not going against anything. Friday night, carve it out, man. I think this one's worth watching.
Yeah, and it's always cool when you get that because you could line it up against the UFC card, and I could see where some people might think that this is a better card than the UFC card. But we don't have to worry about it because it's on a Friday night. So literally this is one of those really cool weekends where you get to see crazy massive fights on two major days. I mean, granted, some of the smaller promotions are fighting other days. So when you think about it, last night was Invicta. Today, you know, you probably can turn on and see one of the smaller promotions fighting. But then to have Bellator be able to go, and then now, and then the UFC, I mean, like, this is a good weekend. But yeah, this card's stacked, man. This card is really, really good.
Honestly, top to bottom, I think this is one of the better Bellator offerings in recent memory, man. Top to bottom, man. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it doesn't, you know, maybe you look at the top and you say it doesn't have, you know, you may say, well, Douglas Lima, he's been around forever. 21st fight, I believe, under the Bellator banner, which is insane.
That's fucking crazy.
Jason Jackson, you know, kind of the, like I said, the unheralded guy. So you may be like, this doesn't have, you know, the Pitbull brothers. This doesn't have MVP. This doesn't have, you know, whoever you think is like the marquee matchups. But I'm telling you, in terms of like tough names top to bottom, man, I think this is dope. So that's Friday. If for any reason you could take this weekend off, take this weekend off. Because Friday morning, tomorrow morning, you can get one championship. I'm going to have my ass up early in the morning. I was just hanging out with those guys, so I got to watch their fight early in the morning. Again, you got some great fights on there. You got Muay Thai. No submission grappling this time around, but you do have some striking-only matchups, which, by the way, Muay Thai and kickboxing and four-ounce gloves is a whole different sport. And if you ever watch – so some people know, like, my passion for the sport started in Muay Thai, but, like, traditional Muay Thai in Thailand – the first round is kind of like a takeoff round, basically. Like, they basically just kind of like go through the motions and allow the bettors to start betting and stuff like that. It's almost like a, I guess, you know what I would liken it to is like before horse race, you have like the in the paddock where the horses go through and you kind of look at the horses. That's what round one is like in a Muay Thai fight. You know what I mean? You're kind of looking at your horse, right? And you're like, hey, I'll put my money on that guy. They're not really throwing. They're just kind of – and then they pick it up in round two and then round three. You know what I mean?
When did they dip their hands in the glue and then in the broken glass?
Oh, dude, that's like round two.
That's round two?
That's in movies, you son of a bitch. But those are great movies, though, man. Come on, man.
So good.
Who didn't love that back in the day, man? I mean, bro, Bloodsport back in the day.
Bloodsport was the shit.
Bloodsport. Dude, if anybody our age that like loves MMA, they'll tell you that like Bloodsport got them onto it, dude. Like if you're a young cat, listen to this right now.
And I have no idea what we're talking about.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to excuse you. Pause. Just put pause in the episode. Don't stop it. You know what I mean? Put pause because I want you to come back to it. But go watch Bloodsport, man. Yeah.
It's life-changing.
It's life-changing, bro.
And especially at the time. I mean, like, for the most part, I think it still carries over. I mean, granted, graphics and effects and things have changed, but just the story and just the grunginess of that movie still works. It still stands.
Amazing.
So fun.
Amazing.
So good.
So and it was just that era of martial arts movies, man. Yeah. So good. But Bloodsport was the one that stood out to me. All right, so one has a great offering Friday morning. Bellator is Friday night. And then, of course, the UFC is on Saturday morning. So we get another early one. UFC Fight Night 208, which, man, I'll be honest with you, man, I'm so intrigued by this fight. Curtis Blaydes versus Tom Aspinall. Woo! I am pumped up for this fight, man. Because you know, I remember after Aspinall won last time out, and we sat here and we were talking about what's next and where do we go. And I think we both said, look, the most difficult matchup for Tom Aspinall in the division is Curtis Blaydes, and I still believe that. Like honestly, like maybe I'm crazy, but like I'll be honest with you, if you put Aspinall against Ngannou right now, I'm picking Aspinall. I'm telling you right now, if you put Aspinall against Ngannou, I'm picking Aspinall.
Because he's injured, right?
Because of knees blunt. No. Well done, sir. No, I'm talking about fully healthy. I'm telling you right now, you put me up Aspinall against Ngannou, I'm picking Aspinall. And call me crazy if you will, but I think Aspinall's grappling game is that good. I think his speed, I think his movement, I think his submission abilities, all that.
His size.
I will pick Aspinall against Ngannou. But I'm telling you right now, I think this is the toughest matchup in the division for Tom Aspinall. And look, I did the betting preview earlier this week for Sports Illustrated, and Curtis Blaydes as an underdog? Curtis Blaydes as an underdog?
Wow.
Like, ooh.
So who'd you pick in this?
That's the whole thing. As I was like, and I said, look, in a lot of ways, I'm having a hard time not envisioning Tom Aspinall winning because the momentum that he's on.
Yeah.
But if I can get Curtis Blaydes as a dog, I can get plus money. And that's not huge plus money, but it's still plus money. So, look, all right, but let's take that out of the equation because, look, I am, by the way, still in first place in the staff picks over at MixedMartialArts.com.
Oh, yeah, who's number two?
I don't even – they're so far down, not even pay attention,
even
bro.
See.
Yeah, it's just – all right, so I don't have to do staff picks. So now you're making me do a staff pick live right here as we talk. And –
Sounds to me like you're leaning Aspinall.
I am. That's the thing. I'm leaning Aspinall because I do believe he's the item, dude. I believe he's the real deal, man. I believe but there's a part of me that just says, look, we haven't seen this dude against the elite level athletes yet. We haven't seen him go deep into fights.
He made Volkov look
like
what are you still fighting for?
He did.
It was so dominant, so bad.
But now you're talking about – and Curtis Blaydes, and I know Curtis Blaydes isn't the most popular fighter in the division because I understand his fighting style and all that, and his interviews and whatever. He's not the guy that everybody's like, that's my favorite fighter.
Right.
But if you're not pretending that Curtis Blaydes – you have to admit he's one of the top three or four guys in the division, period. You know what I mean? And so this is the real test. And again, this to me – is the real stylistic test as well, because Tom Aspinall is not just going to like shoot in and take Curtis Blaydes to the ground. You know what I mean? Like that's not going to happen. Now, is he faster? I believe he is faster.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be a big advantage, but does he necessarily want to stand and strike with Curtis Blaydes? Maybe. I
can see where he'd want to test himself.
Like, yeah.
This would be the good chance for him to really test his hands.
Yep.
You know, I initially, for my staff pick at that other place you used to work at,
I don't remember where it was.
I went Blades, but boy, after seeing them face off, I had no, I didn't realize how big Aspinall was compared to Blades.
That's a big dude.
He's huge.
He's a big dude.
He is huge. So, and well, boy, I started questioning. I was like, ooh, I think I'm going to stick with my Blades pick. But man,
I think athletically, like, you can compare him to Gon, right? Like, big dudes that move like guys that aren't that big, you know what I mean? That move like lighter guys. Yeah. Like, I think athletically, he's like, although his game obviously is completely different than Gon's.
Yeah.
Like, I'd pick him against Gon.
I would too.
I think he is. I'm telling you right now, I'd pick Aspinall against Ngannou, but I don't. I think I'm picking Aspinall, but man, I think overlooking Blades, and again, if you're wagering, if you can get Blades plus money, man, I'm so intrigued.
Yeah. I mean, speed, we've seen the games change, man, where speed and precision, you know, has been winning the day against these big power guys, you know? So, I mean, Tom is very accurate. I mean, he's very powerful, but he's also just very quick, man. He's so sharp, you know? I mean, sort of second-guessing myself, but I want to stick with the Blades pick because I feel like I've went against him in the past and it's reared its head and bit me in the ass. So I want to go with experience in this one. I want to go with the guy that I know that if he can get his hands on and make it maybe not as pretty, but Tom's been really quick too, man. I mean, like, even when you try to hold him up against the cage, he's got good elbows, he's got good speed, he's able to separate. I think if Curtis can hold him and kind of keep control and then work some good ground and pound, work some good shots, I think he can win it. So I just have to stop thinking about it and just keep my pick because I don't want to change it.
Yep.
I do happen to have a nice 5-pick lead.
Woo!
Over number two right now, in which happens to be Abby. Abby and Mike are 122-69. Right now I am rocking the 127-64.
Wow, 5-pick lead.
5-pick lead. Our readers at 119-67. They're not even close right now.
I would love to see you pick up the interim title this year, man. That would be amazing.
I would be the first two-time champ.
Wow, you would be the first two-time champ,
I'm hoping. I'm just trying to not mess it up.
And that would be 3 years in a row for the MMA Roadshow, right?
Yeah.
Bro, I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Just saying. If you're looking for experts out there, maybe we're a little bit overlooked. Chris Curtis versus Jack Hermanson. I'm intrigued by this, right? So, at first,
I love Chris Curtis.
I love Chris. Man, I love Chris
so
Curtis.
So funny, his personality, and just jumping in there. I mean, like, he's showed him. He's just, for some reason, I mean, he's just one of my favorite fighters recently. I love his attitude.
Yep.
And he's so damn funny. Like, at Media Day and even just post fight when we last saw him, I was just rolling, dude. Like, he's hilarious. It might be the ties to Extreme as well. Now I see the guy
over
there, but
of course.
But dude, he's a stud, man.
I love him. I love his attitude. I love it. But I'll be honest with you, man. When I first heard he was stepping in there, right? He was taking the short notice fight against Jack Hermanson. I was like, well, good on you. Get paid. Go do your thing. But the more I think about it, he's got a real chance to win this fight. And I think, honestly, man, preparing for Rodolfo Vieira probably prepared him for this fight. You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't think Jack Hermanson's going to outstrike him by any stretch of the imagination. Now, I think Hermanson has better takedowns than Rodolfo does, but you know what Rodolfo's trying to do, right? And, I mean, what did he stop, like 25 takedown attempts or something insane
something
like that?
Stupid.
That's what Hermanson's going to try to do. And so, I'll be honest with you, when I first heard the matchup, I was like, good on Chris. Good for you. Get paid. Go have fun. Do whatever. But the more I think about this fight, man, I think he's got a real shot, and I think his last preparation wins it. And I did see a lot of people were kind of tripping that Till wasn't going to be in his corner after he originally said he was going to be in his corner. And that has
doesn't matter.
Zero.
What the fuck is that?
Zero.
Even?
Zero
that
effect. Yeah,
that's
zero.
That's so ridiculous.
That's just a funny little storyline. It's not happening anymore, but that has zero
so
effect on the fight.
That's so stupid. I actually picked Curtis to win this one. I just think his momentum, I love his, like, again, like I said, about his personality, but I think his speed and his power, and I thought he showed himself last event to be a lot better than I thought he was. You know, like, he surprised me. Like, I knew he was going to go in there and he was going to give a great effort, but I think I picked Vieira in that, and I was just like, wow, who is this guy? And so now I don't want to pick against him. I think Hermanson is very, very dangerous, and he's great. I just think this is a bad matchup for him. And Curtis is going to come in easy. He feels no pressure. He knows it's about coming to get money. And the other day, Eric Nixick did an interview with MMA Junkie Radio. At the very end, he's like, here, wait, come with me because I like you guys. And he walked into the room, and Curtis was in there working, and he came over super relaxed. He's like, come to get paid, you know, and he just like, there was just this ease. I felt no stress looking on his face. I was like, if he's going in there feeling good, he's riding the high coming into this fight. He has no pressure to go in there and do it. And all he has to do is just show up. And I feel like he's got all the skills already to do it. So I'm riding Curtis with this one, man. If you had to pick a parlay right now, so far for me, you have Blades and Curtis. Fight is a little bit tough.
All right, that's what we're going to get to, right? So Jordan Leavitt versus Paddy Pimblett. This is intriguing, right? Like, on the one hand, all right, so there's a lot of things that go through my mind, right? First of all, look, this fight's in London. The matchmakers, I'm not saying, look, this is the UFC. There's no such thing as an easy fight. But I do think the matchmakers sometimes do put together matchups that make sense. You know, you look at the way they guided Ronda Rousey to the title. You look at the way they guided Conor McGregor to the title. Not to say that those people were, like, given easy matchups, but you gave them the stylistically preferable matchups. Alex Pereira would be the latest example of that, right? Like, there's a reason Alex Pereira fought Sean Strickland and not some of the other guys in the matches.
He's fucking bad.
The matchmakers know what they're doing when they match people up, they're trying to create contenders, right?
Ooh, he looked good in that one.
And they want Paddy Pimblett to win in London, of course, man. They want it. And so that makes me think about the matchmaking. Now, Jordan Leavitt, I'm high on, man. I like Jordan Leavitt, dude. I think he's stylistically, he's so unique. I think he's a great grappler. But here's the thing about Paddy Pimblett is anybody that maybe didn't follow his pre-UFC run would maybe not know that he's more of a grappler than a striker. You know what I mean? So you might look at it and be like, oh, Paddy had the knockout. Da, da, da. Like, no, man, he's more of a grappler. So I don't know, man. I'm intrigued by this fight. I do think, you know, it's been funny. So I got a chance to talk to Paddy earlier in this week. I was actually shout out to the UFC, man. Thank you to them. They were trying to hook me up with Blades and Aspinall as well, but I had a flight delay, and so I wasn't able to get them. But I was able to get Paddy Pimblett. And Paddy was like, it's an easy night's work at the office, lad. You know what I mean? First round. And it was funny because I posted that, and I saw, like, John Wood liked it. You know what I mean? And so, like, people around Jordan are like, okay. You know, we like this. We like that energy you're bringing to this. I think they feel like, you know, all the pressure's on Paddy, all the expectations are on Paddy, and they can just come in and shock the world. So I'm not writing Jordan off here, but I feel like, you know, of course the expectations are on Paddy. And again, like I said, I'm not saying the matchmakers put together fights. I mean, at the end of the day, they know they can't control the outcome of the fights. But I do think in certain situations, they do put together fights. And I think maybe the matchmakers have a feeling that this is a good match for Paddy Pimblett.
And it's one that hopefully he's going to be able to show more of his skill set and really push himself a little bit. I think there's been times in fights we've seen where, like, okay, is Paddy the real deal? Has he just always had guys that haven't pushed him? Because I felt like even some of the last ones, he was a bit slow coming out. And I think people always criticize him, too, that he gets too heavy in between fights. So then when he comes in the fight, he seems maybe a little bit sluggish at first. But then he pulls it out, you know. If I wouldn't throw you my three-card parlay, I went with Jordan on this one. I went with a little bit of the underdog because while I love Paddy and I love his enthusiasm, I feel like he's already way overlooked Jordan, and he's not giving Jordan a shot in this. And I think that's the mistake that a lot of fighters will make, you know, with Jordan. They see him twerking. They see his personality. They say, oh, man, this guy is just this. He's not taking it seriously. He doesn't really have anything. Jordan is a dangerous fighter.
He's like a new-age Roxanne Modafferi. Like,
yeah, kind of I can see that.
Kind of a little bit of a nerd.
Oh,
you know
super
what I mean?
Nerdy, quirky, weird, whatever. But I love everything about him. But and he just goes out there and he proves
overlook him at your own peril.
Exactly. I mean, there is, you know, when we talked about size earlier about the Aspinall, I was a little surprised how big Paddy looked to Jordan. Mm-hmm. So that was another one. I was like, man, there you go again. You pick a guy for one reason, then you see him face to face, and you're like, wow, maybe that was a stupid pick. So I started, when I saw them face to face at the media day face-offs, Paddy is the bigger guy coming in. So I don't know. I just think if it gets to the ground, which it could actually happen, I think Jordan's got a lot of weapons on the ground. Mm-hmm. I think Paddy wants to keep the fight standing so we can knock him out. I think he has good skills if it gets to the ground. I just think Jordan's slick and he's tricky. So I'm thinking that if it does, maybe he catches Paddy over, you know, extending himself in some, you know, whether it be an arm bar or something along those lines. But I could be completely wrong. Jordan could come out there and just not had taken this as serious as he should have, and Patty, being pumped up by the crowd, can go out there like a superhuman and just put on the show, because that's what he wants to do. He's going to be so fired up from the crowd. But on the flip side of that, you know, you're making that walk out there, and you know everybody has that expectation on you to go out there and starch this guy. Do you get do you come out of your head? Do you get a little too caught up in the moment, you know? Do you maybe slip up because you're so excited? Is he going to have some sort of adrenaline dump once it finally gets going? Because that walk is going to be absolutely nuts for him walking into that arena. And on the flip side of that, Jordan's going to come into super hostile feeling territory. So depending on how his mindset, he might come in there loving it, thinking like, okay, this is the greatest thing ever. You know, I'm in enemy territory, and maybe it'll fire him up. But on the flip side, you know, Patty might be like, wow, every single person in here has their hopes that I'm going to go out there and represent the country and represent, you know, and if he doesn't, they're going to be like,
And he told me, by the way, he was like, look, I think this is probably the last time I fight in the UK, because now it's time for me to go to the US.
Interesting.
Pay-per-view.
To start taking over like the US.
Yeah.
I do love that. Him and Molly, when they were coming over here to some of the stuff, and then you get those two together, it's just so fun.
Magic.
Listening to them. Their personalities are absolutely incredible. And that's the personality that's going to carry over and cross over to like the US market with no problem at all. I mean, there's times it's hard to understand what he's saying, but I love his personality. I love his skill set. You know, I mean, this is a kid that they've been looking at really, really long to build into a new star. I mean, they need him for, to keep growing that European market or whatever. But
he's funny,
man. He's got a tough fight, man.
This is a tough fight. I agree. He is funny, man. I'm just like,
so funny.
Why do you big up yourself like this? Like, you're just putting more pressure on yourself. He's like, man, if you know you're going to win, like, might as well do it. You know, like, all right, I love it. Nikita Krylov versus Alexander Gustafsson. This to me is an intriguing fight as well. Look, I'll be honest with you, this whole card is, to me, literally, I'm not bullshitting. Like, I think this whole card is very intriguing. But this fight, question marks. But both guys, right? Question marks. Like, which guy's showing up? Who's the... Both have had amazing performances. Both have had terrible performances. I'm intrigued by that one. You mentioned it, Molly McCann, Hannah Goldie.
That's going to be a good one.
Paul Craig versus Volkan Ozdemir, who, again, Paul Craig just gets in terrible spots but wins. Volkan Ozdemir, ups and downs as well. I mean, kind of rushed to the top of the division, and where does he actually stand? Ludovic Klein versus Mason Jones is amazing. Mark Diakazi's back. Mark Diakazi, my kid's favorite fighter, just because of the red mohawk on the.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was gonna say that's an interesting.
I don't know if it's his favorite fighter, but like on the video game, we haven't played the video game. I'm not gonna lie, we haven't.
But
played
he'd always
it,
play
like
him.
A year. But this was like we haven't played in like a year, year and a half. But he would always pick Diakazi.
Awesome.
He's like he loved the mohawk.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Daniel Wood versus Charles Rosa, Amir Khani versus Jonathan Pierce, JSP, Mokaev is back versus Johnson, Herbert versus Nelson. I mean, dude, the thing just goes on. I'm excited by this.
14 fights.
I love, but
that's a long.
It's a long, but you know what, man? It starts, and again, it starts early, and I love that. Love that. I know we're two old dudes sitting here that don't stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning anymore, but I did last night, by the way.
I was gonna say on a rare bender, maybe on a rare one.
Yeah, last night. Yeah, ran to some friends in LA, and it was
Hall of Famers, friends. You know how it was.
You know, after you have dinner with a Hall of Famer, you know you're like, hey,
where do you go from?
Where
there?
Are my peeps at, dog? Let's go. You know, I had some fun. But you know what's funny is I messaged my wife and I'm like, hey, I'm getting off the plane. I'm gonna go do the podcast with Cold Coffee. I was like, after that, like, why don't we go meet for dinner? And then I want to be in bed by like 6. But I have to get up at 3 for the one championship show. And
I'm surprised she's not like, well, we'll go have dinner, then I'm gonna give you Eli, then I'm going out with the girls.
All right, so let me ask you real quick. A lot of matchmaking was done this week, a lot of big fights, and we don't really talk about breaking fights and stuff like that because there's time and all that. But I thought these were very interesting. Hamzat versus Nate Diaz.
It's murder waiting to happen. They're not doing Nate any favors except for giving him a fight that he wanted because he knows there's going to be money. But
right.
It's not like they had to change. His contract was already set. It's not like they just decided to give him something else unless there was something. But I don't see how he legally can make them pay him any more money unless they were finally just like, fine, bro, we're going to do this, and then you're gone or whatever. But it's a fight he wanted. You know, it's going to be a huge fight, but he's going to get
– It's a fight he wanted in the sense that he just wanted a fight.
He wanted a fight, yeah. And he wanted a name that he could try to sell, you know, that he could get some pay-per-view points and get some things from. But
dude, is any part of you say, like, hold on, man, we haven't seen Hamzat that deep, you know what I mean? Like, what if – It is
well,
a five.
Herbert took him deep.
But this is five. This is
or
five.
Burns. I'm saying Herbert because his brother just fought. Yeah. Burns took him deep. Yeah. But no.
This is five. This is oh. By the way, by the way, how about that picture the other night of Gilbert carrying Herbert out, man? Yeah. Like, bro, I don't.
My
have
brother, I don't think he'd pick me up. I'm too fat. He would try, but he's strong. He's
I don't have a brother, man, but I do. And I apologize. I can't remember who took it. I know it got widely distributed everywhere, and I apologize. I can't remember who took the picture, but it's such a beautiful representation of just who Gilbert is and, like, who those brothers are and, like, how much it means to him. All right, but so is there any part of you that goes, but hold on, five rounds? Like, what if this gets to, you know, what if this gets to five, you know, look, Hamzat was fading. Hamzat was this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, if it was a striker match, if it was just, like, striking, I can see where Diaz can make it to the end of the five rounds, and it's okay. But, like, Diaz isn't going to pressure him like Burns did. Burns was actually putting him when Hamzat took him down. I mean, like, was tiring him out. Like, I don't see him getting tired because he's not going to have anybody. He would
right.
tire himself out.
Right.
He would have to tire himself out in this one. And
yep,
I just don't see Diaz being able to – I mean, Diaz can weather the punches and weather striking. If Diaz is able to lure him into a striking match, that would be interesting to see if Hamza's like, I want to be the guy that knocks out Nate Diaz. I don't want to just submit him and smash him. You know, if Diaz can get in his head and make him want to do that, then I can see then it's playing into more Diaz's favor. But if it's just a matter of him getting in there and getting the takedown, controlling those legs and just smashing – You know, yes, Diaz has great submission skills, but, man, when was the last time you saw him fucking submit anybody?
Yeah.
And not a guy of, like, this level. I mean, like...
That's interesting, though. I hadn't thought about that psychological play. There may be something to that, man. You know, like...
That's how, when he fought Cerrone.
Cerrone's the one that comes to my mind
immediately. Everybody was like, Cerrone's going to destroy him. And then Cerrone fought his fight, and it was just like, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Yep.
You know? So, I mean, there's always a possibility, and you never know, but, I mean... We haven't seen Hamzat lose his mind like that in any of these other fights. You know, he's always done what he's needed to do to get the win. I just think he's going to just manhandle him and do what he does and just take him down and just smash.
I do too. And now let me ask you this, because I think
bad's Diaz going to look at the end of this?
Well,
because,
I mean, okay.
Because the scar tissue that just opens up, it's going to be a bloody mess.
All right, so that's what I wanted. So that was kind of my next question I want to ask you, because I think 99% of people believe the same. Like, even Nate Diaz homers inside probably know, like, oh, this matchup sucks. I mean, he said the matchup sucks, right? Like, he admitted the matchup sucks. So I think we all feel the same way. Now, again, it's an MMA fight. Anything can happen, et cetera, et cetera. But if the fight plays out that way, Hamzat destroys him or whatever, does that, because we all know what's happening here. It's been very clearly played out. Nate's just trying to get his contract done. He's got other options. He's got other ideas. Does that affect his marketability in future fights?
Jake Paul's putting money on him. If you take him on face value, maybe he's just talking shit. But it's like, that's the guy that he wants to fight next for some sort of a thing. So if you got that guy believing you and buying into the hype, that could be all BS. Knowing how Jake kind of, he's smart and he's very slick in how he does some of these things. He might say, hey, I'm putting money on him just to keep the interest in it, and then at the very end be like, nah, sorry, psych.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid with my money.
I didn't hit submit on that screenshot.
Yeah. I just kept it in draft mode.
Yep.
I think those fights, I mean, it's still Nate. I mean, like, just like we've seen Nate lose to Conor, we've seen Nate lose to other people, and it's never hurt his marketability by any means. And if anything else, it gives, like, a guy like a Jake Paul another chance to beat another MMA legend in boxing. That fight, regardless of how this fight plays out, is still going to be there
for
him. I don't think that hurts that. Are there other fights outside of that? Who knows? I mean, maybe the fight with Jake is a close one, and Jake's like, all right, let's run it back. And then he gets two huge paychecks or something. I mean, this is interesting, right?
Because everybody knows the fight that's going next is a boxing match with Jake Paul, right?
Yeah.
But then where do you go from there? Like, are you thinking beyond that, or are you just thinking, like, I do that and I'm done? You know what I mean? Because
think
you're thinking
it.
Beyond that. Like,
say if he wins $3 million, say if he gets $3 million, $5 million, how much do you need?
Yeah.
You know, to really set yourself up. And if, you know, and knowing Nate, and if I was Nate, I would sign for a two-fight contract. Don't just do the one fight. See if you can get Jake Paul to agree to two fights. See if you can get some money. Maybe not the biggest number, but you get a guaranteed second fight for lesser money each particular fight or something. You know, work some sort of deal where you're getting a multiple fight deal, but you don't even have to tell anybody about it. Just say, bro, it's a you know, between us, we'll set it up so we can set it up.
We'll do two. Either way, whichever way it goes, we're doing two. And they're smart enough. They can figure out the angle.
Right. And that, and I mean, they've been brilliant with, Jake's just fucking, he's been knocking out the part. I thought that the bedside scene was so hilarious. You know, about his back was hurting from carrying his opponents. That was really, really funny. So it's almost like Nate's agreed to a terrible matchup for this fight, but he's still going to get great money because it's already money that he was already contracted to get, which was not a small amount, I'm sure. He's going to get pay-per-view points for it. And he's opened up the possibility immediately to take a fight that we know is going to be there that's going to get him more millions as well. He's been sitting on the side right now for so long. And, you know, I'm sure he's been taking care of his boys. I'm sure that bank accounts came down quite a bit. And now he's just like, hey, I need to get something, you know. Now they're opening it up for him to do it.
What do you think his attitude, like, what do you think fight week's going to be like, right? Because, like, Nate, I mean, we know this is basically just...
For the Hamza one?
Yeah. Think about it, like, I'm just basically, like,
dead
we know...
Deadpan, smoke, he'd probably try to smoke weed
so
up that, there again.
So, look, he's main event. I mean, did he say for sure he's getting pay-per-view points, or we're just assuming?
I just assuming.
Assuming, okay. See, I don't know for sure if he gets pay-per-view points, and maybe, I know he did an extensive interview. I don't know if that came out or not. But I wonder, like...
If they don't give him points... His agreed money would happen. You know how
it's a pay per view main event. So, yeah. All right. Let's assume he's getting pay per view points. What do you think his attitude is on fight week? Like, does he participate in everything? Does he sell everything? Or is it because he knows I'm just trying to get this done and be out? Like, he doesn't participate. Like, he doesn't show up to media day. Press conference. He's just like, yeah, whatever. Right. Yeah, whatever. Or does he go in, if that is, you know, if he does get points, is all that he's like, I'm selling it because A, I want to get the biggest paycheck possible, and B, I'm trying to set up my next fight. So like,
I could see both.
What do you think?
I could see both. I could see him trying to sell it, but I also, if he knows in his heart of hearts that this might be his last UFC fight, he might want to go to the things just knowing that this is the last time I'm gonna have to do this. But on the flip, I could see where he's like, fuck it, I'm getting my money. I'm so over this. I don't owe you anything. You're supposed to do the events. But I can see him going to the media. I just see him just doing like what he does last time, just sort of deadpan quick answers or whatever. I don't think he would completely skip it. But I remember back in the day, him skipping open, you know, when they used to have open workouts and stuff, he would skip things and do all kinds of stuff. I assume he'll do what he needs to do. He showed up to his last one. This fight would be even bigger. So I assume he'll show up and do what he needs to do, you know.
Yeah.
At least I hope so, because it's always better when he's there. Crowd just loves him. I mean,
he is a crowd.
And I think he enjoys that as well, you know. Like, he enjoys, if I'm going to have to do this, all this shit,
feeling
at least let me feel the love of the people. So, I mean, that's just natural to want to experience that. So I would think that I think he would show up and do his shit, you know. If there was an open workout, he would skip that.
But they don't do that anymore.
Media days,
so.
I think he'll make it. I think he'll show up.
We'll see it in the very near future. All right, the other one I want to ask you about real quick, Sean O'Malley, Peter Yan. Like, dude,
that's tough.
I love tough this. That's all that. I love this fight. And you know what, man? Look, and you and I have said here, and we've talked about it a lot, Sean O'Malley over the years. Look, I think anybody that says Sean O'Malley's all hype, he's all like, no. Now, is it fair to say he hasn't been tested? Yes. You know, obviously the last fight, it sucked, man. Like, that was the big test, and it didn't work out. You know what I mean? The way things ended. But, man, I will say this. If you're a guy – like, obviously, if you're an O'Malley fan, like, I don't have to sell you on this. But if you're an O'Malley hater, I think this is your time to come around. You know what I mean? Like, bro.
Yeah, get all behind Piotr on this one.
No. What I'm saying is this is your time to come around and realize, like, bro.
Oh, that he's a great fighter.
He's willing to do this. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I respect him, man. Because, look, man, his thing, and you hear more fighters saying it, and I love that more fighters say it. I talked to Jonathan Pierce the other day. I know Jonathan Pierce isn't Sean O'Malley, but he said the same thing. I was like, so where do you go from here? You know, you win against Makwan Americano, you'll be on a nice win streak. He's like, well, you know, if my contract's here, I don't want to fight there. Yeah. And you know what I meant? That's a smart businessman. And he it was funny because he was talking about he used to own a landscaping business. So he was like, I'm going at this as a business owner, right?
That's
like,
awesome.
You know, and it's true.
It's
like,
so true.
It's smart. Like, look, you know, the bold, braggadocio, crazy dude is like, yeah, give me number one right now. Bro, if you're fighting number one and you're not getting number one money,
yeah,
that's stupid. So anyway.
Because you can take some damage. You can be really pushed.
Everything. So listen. Yeah. But what I would say is this matchup to me came out of nowhere, and I love it.
Yeah.
And I would just say if you're a Sean O'Malley hater, I think you got to respect Sean O'Malley for taking this fight, man, because this is the moment where we find out is the Sugar Show for real? Is the Sugar Show just, you know, is it reality TV or is it fictional TV? We about to find out because Peter Yan is going to push you.
I was going to say, because I thought where you're going, because of the haters, this is the one where you're going to like, oh, yeah, my boy's definitely losing in this one. You know, F that dude in his colored hair. This is a great fight. I mean, this is a great, great fight. I mean, Sean, I mean, the way his striking, the only thing I would worry about in this is, like, I mean, we've seen at times, like, his body's had weird little injuries and weird quirks in some of these fights. I think he's kind of gotten over that. I mean, as long as he stays healthy and he's able to kind of do his thing, I mean, his jiu-jitsu is just sick. His striking, his weird, crazy angles that he's able to kind of do is fantastic. But, man, Yan is a beast, dude. I mean...
This might be one of those ones where you like, I don't want to say fake a knockdown, but you take an easy knockdown, right? Like, oh, I got tagged. Oh, I dropped to my back. You know,
come down.
Yeah. Oh, I'm hurt. You know, yeah. Verdum and Milenko style. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I'm hurt. Oh, did you?
Yan ain't gonna want to go and get into his guard.
If he's disciplined, he stays.
I would stay up.
I love it.
And try to strike, try to do your thing. But I mean, Yan likes to push and do his thing. But man. O'Malley's dangerous. He's really, really dangerous. And I could see haters are going to hate. I mean, like, people are just going to hate him because of his personality. He's flashy. But the dude's he's got money. Didn't he get, like, a weird colored Lamborghini or something?
Oh, yeah. He's been renting Lamborghinis everywhere, dude. Like, dude's I love awesome, it, man.
But, I mean, like, when it comes to go out there and perform, man, he fucking does it, man. He's great. But this is a very, very tough fight. But I'm leaning O'Malley.
By the way, not a bad marketing idea. Like, bro, you know, you're not buying, you know, $300,000 Lamborghinis.
Yep.
But you rent one for $1,000 a day, and you show up to media day in it, and you get the pictures taken and all that. Like, that's probably worth $1,000 that you paid to rent that car for the day. You know what I mean? Like,
remember when at the Apex when Connor was there training? I was like, did he buy that car that he show up and then he park? Or I was like, did he just rent that shit?
Bro,
just like the house,
dude. You know what's funny is, so I have a
what was that? Was that a Lambo? Or was that a Ferrari?
No, he had a green Lambo, and it was so funny. It's so funny, Mitch. I hadn't thought about this forever. So he had a green Lambo that he rented for fight week or whatever, and he would park it outside the Apex, but literally like not in a parking spot, like literally like just
blocking the entrance,
to the Apex. And I actually, did you take the picture?
I think I took the picture.
You took the picture because I think for whatever reason my wife needed. So I have a Kia, and it's a little bit bigger, and her car is like a Fiat.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, she needed the Kia to go like transport something, so I drove the Fiat, like a little Fiat 500.
Yeah.
Like a little tiny ass little.
It looks like a 4 foot long car.
Yeah, it's like a little smart car or whatever. And I pulled up next to the Lambo and you took a picture. It's
that
like
shit was hilarious.
That was at the time I was truthfully considering launching an Instagram account that was literally just like like what Connor does, but in normal life, you know what I mean? Like it would just be anyway, that was funny. God damn.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That's hilarious. All right, listen. I should say, by the way, if you enjoyed what you're listening to, I mean, why would you not? I mean, we're giving you a solid hour of just high-level, you know, MMA talk. I mean,
getting you your parlays. I mean, you're number one on your picks. I'm number one in my picks.
We're both leading websites. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't stay away from that. Then, by the way, if you do that, just do us a favor, man. Take a second to rate us, review us. If you want to step your game up to the next level, we'd appreciate that. Or at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. For as little as $3 a month, you can get exclusive access to the and a half episodes. And you can be part of our community, man, our family, as Mark Fellows has been for, I mean, as long as we've had this show, from the get-go. Mark Fellows, and listen, man, Mark Fellows is a massive MMA fan. He doesn't just support us. He supports other shows as well. He's a big part of the space, and he is somebody that is literally one of the nicest dudes you'll ever meet. I don't know, one of our biggest supporters. Like, we have so many, like, he posts things over at patreon.com/MMAroadshow. We talk to him a lot offline as well, and like, he's always, I don't know, man, I've never had more support from somebody. I mean, look, Scott McCrates of the world, look, there's some other people that support, so I don't want to take away from anybody else, but the reason I'm singling out Mark Fellows right now is because Mark Fellows needs our love, needs our attention, needs our positive energy. I don't know, Cole Coffey, you're better with words than me sometimes, which is funny.
I'm saying you're doing so good. I would do so bad right now.
I'm a professional writer. I know by trade, but sometimes I feel in situations like this, you're better with words than me. But all I can say is, Mark Fellows, man, first of all, we love you, brother. We love you, brother. You have meant so much to us over the years, and your positive support and your words to us have honestly, truthfully meant the world to us. And in this moment that you need us, know that we're there for you. And I just hope that anybody else that's listening to this can offer support, love, feelings, emotions, because he needs it.
Yeah. I thought you did a great job. You're doing much better than what I would do. Mark recently found out, and I'm not going to go into full detail, but our community is always here, and we're always going to be here for Mark. Feel free to reach out on the Patreon. Reach out and let Mark tell you. But, yeah, Mark found out of an illness that he was diagnosed with that he has to address and start taking some chemo and things for, and he needs our love. He needs our support. He's always been there for us. I mean, this guy, one, he had my heart when the first time I see that he's the guy that eats Korean barbecue probably
Korean
more
barbecue,
than I do.
Frosty beverages. Frosty beverages. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's a man after my own heart right there.
He's had some nice vacations recently.
I just think he's always on vacation. He's always on vacation. I'm like, his life looks like a vacation. I'm like, I want to be in that guy's footsteps. So anything we could do for you, Mark, you've always been there for us. We love you, brother. And people that are part of our community, please reach out for him. Or even people that hear this that aren't part of Patreon but know him on see him on Twitter and stuff. This guy's always been involved in the MMA scene. One of those unsung heroes that behind the scenes has helped keep this ship running and helps make it worth it. I'd be lying if I said that if I didn't get that initial tweet after I put out a podcast of Mark sending me a beer pic, I would be very, very sad if I didn't get that. So I actually look forward to that. But we're here for you, brother. Anything that you need, feel free to you know, if you want to open it up and talk more in the community on the Patreon, and then we can do it. I didn't want to say everything that you let on me, but I mean, it was like a shot in the gut. I know when I told John the other day, we both kind of were just sitting there. I was like, I can't hold this together right now. So we love you, brother. And I know it's a weird way to end the show, but we definitely wanted to talk about you and say that we're here. And I think our community is here for you as well. And I think overall the whole MMA community as well is there for you.
I will say this, man. The one thing about the sport, man, as weird as it is and as crazy as the online community is and all that, like, I feel like at the end of the day, like, man, we're fight fans and we love this stuff. And we all, you know what I mean? Like, we're all kind of the same people at the end of the day. We all love this stuff together. And it's the best fans in the world. So, yeah, if you're listening to this, like I said, reach out to Mark. And Mark, man, just me to you, brother. Know that, you know, our love is there for you and our support is there for you, man. And anything you need from us, man, please do not hesitate to reach out. And as Cole Coffey said, it's a weird way to end the show, but we just want you to know that we got your back through thick and thin, and whatever you need, we're here for you, man, and for you especially, and everybody else. Thanks for listening.